and grab out your Bible today, something to take some notes with. I encourage you every week. I don't know if they did it last week. I forgot to go back and listen. I listened to the podcast, but I didn't go back to listen to that little portion before. See if they told you to take some notes, because one day I am going to convince all of you to take some notes. About a month ago, somebody came and they were like, listen, Pastor, I don't take notes, but my wife does. And that should count for both of us, because sometimes I'm like, hey, that's really good. Write that down. Write that down. And so, yes, that counts. Whatever you take notes, however you do it, rock that, all right? Let's take some notes together. If you'd like me to tell you what to write down, you can pull up the Victory Church app, have a fill-in-the-blank version. You just click on today's message. All of the notes and verses that we're going to have for today are there. So if that's what you like, you can pull that up. If you want to write down whatever it is you want to, grab out a piece of paper and jot down some notes together. Today, we're starting out our Easter series called Ripple Effect. We're 2 weeks out from Easter Sunday. It's going to be an amazing service. If you haven't already, invite somebody to come with you on Easter Sunday. I'm praying there will be no rain. But even if there is, it's going to be an awesome time as we celebrate together. We give you these Easter cards to invite someone because we feel the best way is a personal invitation. So we just want to open the door, the conversation for you to invite somebody. So this isn't like walk down the street and just litter in people's yards, all right? That's not what this is. This is if there's somebody, a personal connection that you want to invite. And listen, I told you this before. Studies show people, for whatever reason, are more likely. I think some said 10 times as likely. I think they made that up. But it's a large number more likely to say yes when they're invited on Easter Sunday versus the rest of the year. I don't know why it is. It may be guilt. Lean into that. Come on, somebody. Like, take advantage of that fact. Invite somebody to church. It's going to be an awesome, awesome Sunday as we spend together celebrating the empty tomb that Jesus is alive. So just want to encourage you to invite somebody. Looking forward to it. And what I love to do around Easter time is look at all of the events leading up to Easter Sunday. You might remember last year we did a series called Road to the Cross. We looked at Jesus's last 2 weeks, every place he went, all the things he did. We looked at that leading up to Easter morning. And so I thought that this Sunday, because a large portion of the Gospels deal with these last couple of months of Jesus's life, I thought we would look at a few of the people who were along for the journey. So last week we walked every event and all the spaces that he went. This year I thought, let's look at the people who are just kind of like tagging along. Because we forget about them sometimes, that they're there. The disciples and the crowd and the people that Jesus ministers to and the people that are just watching what happens. We kind of forget that they're a part of the story as well. And so I thought with this kind of ripple effect, we would take a look at their journey as they follow Jesus. So next week, we'll look at Peter and his journey as he takes and makes some decisions on his way to the cross. But here in week one, I want to back us up a few weeks, because roughly a month or so before Easter, Resurrection Sunday, about a month or maybe 6 weeks before Resurrection Sunday, somebody else is resurrected. Somebody else is raised from the dead. Another person is dead, dead to rights, dead. We'll talk about that. Completely and totally dead, dead. And they're raised back to life just a few weeks before Easter Sunday. And it's a famous story. We talk about it a lot. But what's interesting is on the journey to go see this guy raised back to life, we actually see several different people suffering from different types of death of their own, struggling with different things that they have had to walk through or that they're experiencing in this moment that Jesus comes across, suffering different types of inner death. And we kind of forget about them, but there's a ripple effect. There's this as Jesus moves towards this moment, it's like the wake of a boat where it's affecting all these other different things in his wake. As he moves towards this moment, there are people who are dealing with several issues that I think many of us deal with as well. I think many of us have these things that we walk through. And so as we look at Jesus and the way that he ministers to them, I just want to build your hope, build your faith today that no death is ever final. No death ever has the final say, no matter which one of these categories or places you find yourself in. I want you to remember, no death is ever final. Let's jump into it. Chapter 11 of John, chapter 11, verse 1. It says, now a man named Lazarus was sick. And so he was from Bethany. This is near Jerusalem, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. And so the sisters, they send word to Jesus, Lord, the one that you love is sick. A few things you need to know about this. This is a family that's in close relationship with Jesus. So this isn't like, I don't know, coat dragger. These are not people who are just trying to make something up. Like, Lord, remember us. We're really, remember, these are people who are actually closely, like if we were radiant, not like Jesus loves everybody, but like these were close friends of his. These are people that he does life with. Every time he would come to Jerusalem, which was often, so he would come for the festivals and the Passover and all the different events he'd cross through. He would stay with them at Bethany in their house. And so every time Jesus rolled up in town, they'd put on the LSU game and they'd play Xbox and they'd hang out and grill burgers and whatever it is. They had an actual relationship. They would hang out together, that they would spend time together. He loved this family. And so Lazarus is his friend. This is Lazarus, his buddy. This is the closest family to him, probably outside of his 12 disciples. It's a family he loves. And so every time he would stay in their home, they were friends. Let me just, can we get that concept in? Someone he loves. And so in a very weird kind of way, and I don't know how else better to say it, than in a strange way, I get encouraged that Jesus also received bad news. And again, I don't want to misconstrue that, but I just think that Jesus, the Son of God, receives devastating news in his life. Because I know all of us have had that moment where stuff is like going along. Life is just kind of average. It's not really great, not really bad. And then out of nowhere, that whatever it is comes. And it's devastating. And so it just encourages me in some way to know that even Jesus has this news. Somebody he cared about and there's a bad report. That something comes, and there's many of you have walked through that, maybe even since last Easter, where the doctor maybe told you you have a chronic illness that you'll never be rid of, or somebody told you that a friend of yours was going down fast and you needed to get there quick, or maybe you found your marriage wasn't where you thought it was, and now, you know, it's your entire life is blowing apart. Devastating news that arrives. Maybe one of your kids is addicted to something and you never knew until it's gone so far that now their life is falling apart. Or maybe you lost your job, or maybe someone that you love, something has happened, and he receives this news that shows up in his life kind of out of the blue. And Jesus did as well. But verse 4, when Jesus heard this, his response was, watch this, what Jesus says. He says, this sickness will not end in death. And I think this challenges our faith on a kind of a base level. Just this idea, let's just start there. This idea that there would be any kind of death, that there would be any kind of sickness. Maybe this challenges your faith. Because some of us come to faith in Christ. Some of us get into Christianity feeling like, okay, if I say yes and I just do what I'm supposed to do. Like I show up at church and I give and I serve and I love other people and I do all the things. I check all the boxes. I'm generally a good person. Then I get to kind of frolic in the daisies for the rest of my life. Like I sign the box, I check the thing, and now I get to have fun. And honestly, nothing could be further from the truth. Because the Bible talks about this, that in John 10:10, there is an enemy of our souls whose only job is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Like his only purpose in life is to make sure that everything around you is dying or is dead. That he attacks every part of your life that you love. He attacks your relationships. He attacks your faith. He attacks your hope. He attacks your even wanting to get up in the morning. He attacks anything around your life to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And so what we have to do is deal with this. Oftentimes, theologically, we have to come to terms with this idea. Figure out, where does God play into this? Where is God in the midst of all of this when we're walking through these death experiences in life? And here's what I want to encourage you with. Jesus didn't say that this story wouldn't involve death. He said it wouldn't end in death. He didn't say that this thing wouldn't involve. Jesus didn't like saying like pie in the sky. It's never going to be difficult and nothing. He said it will not end in death. And I think sometimes we get that messed up. We need to understand there are times we find ourselves. You read David in Psalms 23. David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. There are times we find ourselves walking in the valley of the shadow. But we need to remind ourselves and encourage ourselves to the Lord. That even though we walk in the valley of the shadow of death. Even though it feels like death has become the end of the story. Jesus said it will not end in death. You don't have to fear because you are not alone. Death will never be the final answer. It will never be the final answer. This story does not end in death. The enemy may be trying to bring death into your life or into your relationships or into whatever it is that you're experiencing. But death is never the final answer. Death never has the final say. Watch this. Jesus goes on to say, it doesn't have to stay. He says, no, it's for God's glory so that God's Son may be glorified through it. And I love that thought. That even in the darkest moments of our lives, even in when we feel like the valley of the shadow of death, even when we feel like things could never be redeemed, God can turn it somehow that he gets the glory. That's what we are called to, as that somehow he gets the glory out of it. That somehow it is. So Jesus said, we got to go do something about this. Jesus is like, okay, the word comes in. Lazarus is sick. Lazarus is dying, the one you love. And so Jesus, like, it's like, we got to go do something. So watch this. He loved Martha and he loved her sister Mary and he loved Lazarus. He loves this family. The verse reminds us. Now, Jesus loved Martha. He loved her sister. He loved Lazarus. And so when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Now, I don't know about you, but this does not sound like love to me. Like, this is not like, if I'm writing this story, I'm like, and so Jesus loved this family, and so he sprinted to where they were. Like, he took off at a shot. Like, he didn't even hear the rest of the message. He just gone. Like, he did everything he could to be at Lazarus's bedside as quickly as he could possibly get there, as fast as he possibly could. But that's not what he does. Bible says he waits. He stayed. And I can tell you in my own life, I can tell you countless stories where I have cried out to God. Well, I have called and we have prayed together and we have believed and seen God move. But I can tell you countless stories of times I have cried out with all of my, I have cried out with all my heart in my own life. And I have prayed and I have sought his face to move and silence. And there's nothing. And we have to come to grips with this fact. But listen to me today. If I could just encourage you with something, here's what I have learned. When it seems like God is up to nothing, rest assured he is up to something. When it feels like he is doing nothing, rest assured he is always at work. He is always working for his glory. He is always working things that he has a plan. And so part of faith is coming to trust. When we cannot see and we don't hear and we feel like he's not, we know that God is. We know that he's working. When it feels like he's doing nothing, he's up to something. And he was in this story as well. We'll see it in just a minute. He says, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. He said, let's go back to Judea. And he says this to the disciples. Our friend has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up. And so here's our genius disciples. So they replied to him. They said, Lord, if he sleeps, if he's just asleep, then he's going to get better. Because if he's sleeping, that means he's at rest. And maybe he's going to do. And so they thought, Lord, if he's asleep. Now, Jesus had been speaking of his death. But his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, he's dead. And so you ever tried to like speak in code to somebody before? Like trying to like just like work around, beat around the bush. This time to do, and they just don't get it. Like you ever did? Jesus does this all the time. Like he's always like, my team, I don't know, he just feel like my team will get it. And then they don't. Like they just don't. This goes all of it. If you ever tried to do this, like you're like at a party with your spouse and you're like, hey, we need to go home. Because why? Because the kids are tired. Come on, somebody. If you've ever done this, like we need, and they're like, no, the kids are fine. Look at them. They're playing. You're like, okay, but that's great. But we need to go because we forgot to do the thing. And they're like, I did the thing. We're fine. We can stay. And your father's like, okay, we need to leave because I hate it here and I'm bored and we need to get in the car. And they're like, oh, that's why. Yeah. So Jesus is like trying to like, he's like, he's sleeping. I'm going to go raise him up and all these different things. And finally, he's like, listen, guys, I was trying to save you, but you're asking a bunch of dumb questions. He's dead. Like this is the thing. I tried to make it easier, but since you asked so many questions, he's dead. And then he goes on to say, and for your sake, I'm glad I was not there. It's an odd choice of words here. He says, but for your sake, I'm glad I was not there so you may believe. It's very interesting. This word believe here, it means to be persuaded. It means that you might be persuaded. But Jesus says, look, guys, I know that you're on your own spiritual journey. Like Jesus, each one of these disciples, you'll see, comes to their realization at different times. Each one makes a declaration. You read through the Gospels, each one is on their own journey. And so Jesus is looking at him. He's like, look, I know the power that's about to touch Lazarus's life is about to touch your lives as well. This ripple effect that's going to affect so many other people around it. And so I'm glad that I wasn't there so that you may believe. You watch this. God already working this out so there will be more glory that Jesus. He's like, I'm glad I wasn't there, which just it encourages me to know that the Lord hates what has happened to you, but he is excited to work through you. When you walk through these moments where things look like everything is spiraling out of control, Jesus looks at his eyes. He's like, I'm glad I wasn't there because this is about to persuade you. I'm glad I wasn't there because God's about to get glory. The Son is about to be glorified. I'm I'm glad he hates what has happened to you. We'll see his heart is breaking in just a moment. But God is excited to work through you. And he can take whatever season or scenario, situation you are going through, and he can touch the lives around you for his glory. He can use even that. Whatever it is, whatever situation looks like death and dying and too far gone, and he can bring it for his glory. That God is excited to work through you to impact people. So Jesus starts on this journey. Now he's finally going, and he encounters three people from this moment. Along this journey, he encounters three different people suffering three different forms of death before he ever gets to the dead man. Three others. And the first one is on his team. It's Thomas. Thomas, right after Jesus says this, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him." I mean, want somebody like that on your team. You want somebody like you're picking the all-star team and you're like, yeah, we need Thomas. Because if we're going to go do this thing, we need somebody who just like throws shade on everything that we're going to do. Now, Jesus is an incredibly leader of like full of mercy and grace that he extends. Because if it was me, like you read the Gospels, I'd have fired Peter like 8-9 times from staff. Like, that's it. Like, we're done. Like, Peter would have been gone. Like, I'd have fired Thomas right here. Because Jesus is like, we're going to go raise this guy to life. And Thomas is like, let's go die with him. Let's just get this thing. We're going to die. Like, how depressed. And this is a terrible perspective. But see, Thomas is suffering a death from doubt. And in fact, you look at Thomas's life, his entire life up until that point, and even the next couple of months, is marked by this doubt. This death from doubt. You'll notice it's marked by unbelief. He didn't believe Lazarus is about to come back to life. He didn't believe Jesus had come back to life. You remember, he said, I need to see the scars in his hands. I need to see the holes. This is the mantra of a person that has a death from doubt, is I have to see it to believe it. I've got to see it. I don't have the ability to have faith. And I want you to know that typically comes from a past tragedy. You ever wonder how the devil attacks people? You ever wonder how he leaves people broken and full of wondering? Full of this doubt of if God was all loving, if God was all good, then why? Because I just can't reconcile the things that I see with the things that you're telling me to believe. And so if God was really good, this would not have had, this was thing. It's kind of Thomas's story. I don't know what he's been through in his life, but he just couldn't get to that place where he could have faith. He's standing there in the presence of Jesus. Jesus said, we're going to go raise this guy back. And Thomas is like, let's just all go die. He gets to the end. He's seen everything that Jesus has done. And he's still in the room saying, I just can't believe till I touch the scars. It's his thing. He's struggling with this death from doubt. And if you're in that place today, I just remind you, just want to encourage you. No death is ever final. No death is ever final. You don't have to stay in that place of doubt. God can rescue you from it as well. So we go on. Verse 20, the Bible says, Martha heard that Jesus was coming. And so she goes out to meet him, one of the sisters. But our second character today, Mary, stayed at home. This is Mary who sat at Jesus's feet. This is Mary who chose what was better. This is Mary who all these things. You see, Mary had faith at one point. Like, Mary believed. She had enough faith to send for Jesus. Even in this story, she believes to an extent. She had enough faith to say, okay, we need to send for him. And she had faith that Jesus could heal her sick brother. And she had faith, watch this, that Jesus would come in time. And so they send for him. Like, and they estimate Jesus at this moment, when they send for him, where he is, they estimate he's between 6 and 8 miles of where the house is. So how far would that be? If you had to go cross that on foot, how long? That's like what? Like 2-3 hours, right? Some of you are like 2 days. Come on. So you just, you're like, what you need is our running small group. That's what the rest of you people do, right? That's just go ahead and sign up for Iron Sharpens Iron. You just need that. But for the rest of us, that's like, I'll give you 3 hours. All right. We'll give you 3 hours to cross these 6 miles. Jesus is close. The messengers, by the time they finally find him and come back, they know that he's close. They know that he's right there. And so Mary, I can just imagine this thought process. We send for Jesus. Jesus loves all that we've done and all that we've experienced and all the relationship we had. I know he's coming. I know that he's close. I know he's on the way. Go check the courtyard, check the road again. I know Jesus is coming. Mary knows he's coming. Martha knows he's coming. Probably even Lazarus in some moment probably knew Jesus is coming. I know he'll come. I know he's coming. And this moment that Mary has, where her belief is shattered, whatever that moment is where Lazarus dies, she sent for Jesus. She knows he's coming. And then her belief is dashed. And she's suffering from a death from discouragement. Because God didn't come through when she thought he should. And now she's kind of given up. Her faith is battered. She's kind of just decided, well, I had faith at one point, but now she's too discouraged. And the mantra of a person who's suffering death from discouragement is, why keep fighting? Like, what's the point? Like, why? I don't understand why I would keep doing this. I've been praying for decades and nothing changed. I've done everything that I know how to do. And I prayed every prayer I know how to pray, and I'm still stuck in the addiction. I've been praying for my prodigal child for years, and they still haven't come home. I'm struggling with this thing. We went to marriage counseling, and we still fight. I'm disciplining my children, and they're still little demons. Come on, somebody. Like, it's like, I've done everything. I'm eating cardboard, and I'm working out 7 days a week, and I still can't lose the weight. You come to that place where you're like, man, I've done everything. Like, why keep fighting? It's a death from discouragement. You keep saying, well, it's never going to happen. And I don't know what you want from me. I've done everything I could. It's never going to happen. And I would just say to you as well, if you're suffering from this, no death is ever final. Death never has the last word in your life. You don't have to stay stuck in that place. God can rescue you from that as well. Now, verse 17 gives us an interesting detail on his arrival. So Jesus finds, he shows up. On his arrival, he finds that Lazarus has been already dead in the tomb for 4 days. Now, for most of us, that wouldn't be a thing. But if you know the culture, you probably know this might be one of the reasons why Jesus waited to show up. Because Jewish culture, now, if you're doing the math, you're probably saying, well, it wouldn't have made a difference because it was 4 minus 2. It was only 2 days and he was already dead 2 days. And yes, you are good at math. 4 minus 2 is 2. That is correct. Which, again, doesn't seem significant to us. But in that culture, in Jewish culture, they believe. Now, the Bible has no similar. The Bible does not say this, does not prove this. It's actually very unbiblical. But what they believed was that in that day, when a body died, the spirit of that person hovered over the body for 3 days before it went on to the afterlife. And so when Jesus raised the other two people that he raised to dead, it was a miracle. It was amazing, but it wasn't all that impressive because the body, the soul was just kind of hovering right there. And so all he had to do was kind of like stuff it back in the body, according to some, not according to the Bible, but this is some who are watching in this time. This is the culture that the spirit's just kind of hovering. So if he just puts it right back in, not that big a deal. But 4 days, even the most kooky whatever thing, Lazarus is dead. Like, even if you're off on this fringe believer, it's 3 days and the spirit's hovering. Like, this is it. To all involved, now he is dead. He is dead. When Jesus shows, so for whatever reason, Jesus waits. And when he shows up on scene, nobody's got the faith that he's about to do what he said he's going to do. Not his 12, not the family he loves, not the people watching around. And so here comes our third character, Martha. And she says to Jesus, Lord, if you had just been here, my brother would not have died. See, Martha still has a glimmer of hope. She's still willing to go and meet Jesus, but she's really frustrated with God's timing, and that's a death from delay. A death from delay. Some of us are suffering a death from delay today because we feel like, yes, God can still move, but for whatever reason, he's choosing not to. And we're wrestling with that. We're not Mary staying at home. We're not Thomas saying, let's all go die with him. Where Martha's saying, Lord, if you had just been here, we got this glimmer. For some reason, he's choosing not to. And it's really frustrating to us because we have a really good plan for our lives, right? Come on, somebody. Like, we have how this thing is supposed to go. We know what the next steps. We hope God would do a miracle in our way. And we're getting frustrated that he didn't come through. And even when his presence does show up, she's still open to it. She still goes out to meet him, but the mantra of a person suffering death from delay is too little, too late. Like, I'm glad you came, Jesus, and I'm going to come out. I don't think you're doing it the right way, though. If you had just been here, I don't understand your process. I don't understand your timing, but I want you to remember no death is ever final. No death ever has the final say. In fact, as we study this part of the story, I would remind you that Abraham was 75 when he received the promise of being the father of many nations and had 0 children. And it wasn't until he was 100 that God sent Isaac, the son of the promise. He waited 25 years for God to make good on his promise. Joseph was in slavery and prison in Egypt over 13 years before God ever raised him up to second in command. Had to wait in faith for what God said he was going to do. And so I would just remind you, if it has not happened, it does not mean that God will not do it. God delays are not his denials. God's delays are not. And so just because sometimes we have to wait to see what it is, we can't work it out in the way. No, death is ever final. Just because it's not happening now doesn't mean it will never happen. Because sometimes there's a waiting season as God prepares the miracle so he can get even more of the glory in your life and in mine. And so we catch a glimpse of the faith that Martha has in this moment. Because then she goes on to say, I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. She's wrestling with this. And Jesus said to her, listen, Martha, your brother will rise again. So he speaks it to her. Here's the promise. And watch, Martha gets like lippy with Jesus. Like she comes out to meet him and she has her pre-prepared, like what she's going to say. But then as soon as Jesus says something, she gets all like kind of stiff. She's like, watch this. Jesus is like, your brother will rise again. And she says, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now, again, Jesus is the most grace-filled person. Because if I was Jesus, I'd be like, I know you rise again. Just want to like slap somebody. Like just a, I just, the people that he, we can learn a lot from Jesus. Come on, so we could just say, but watch what he does say. Jesus responds with it. I think it's just as forceful, if not more so. Jesus, he said to her, Martha, I am the resurrection. She's like, I know that, she's kind of like going all this stuff. Like, I know I can make some like spiritual platitudes and I know I can kind of gloss over this and I know maybe it'll happen. I know he said, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. You see the promise of eternal life in this one statement. They will live even though, you understand, even when we die, even if it's this life, life is just getting started. Death is never the final say. Now, this promise of eternal life, he says, the one who believes in me will live even though they die. He said, I know that the story may involve death, but it does not end in death. And he says the same thing. Our story may involve it. I don't know what way it may look in your life. For some of you, it may be you live 95, 100 years and it involved their death. For some of you, it may be you're walking through a death from delay or a death from discouragement or a death from doubt. It may involve death, but it does not end there. He said, though he believes in me, though he dies, he will still live. And watch, he says this, and even though they die, whoever lives by believing in me will never die. And then he asks her this question that he asks us, do you believe this? Do you believe it? And so then he says, take me to the tomb. And they have this moment. Right after this, he's spoken to Martha, the one who's come to him. And then they have this moment where they are all heartbroken together. Shortest verse in the Bible says, Jesus wept. He's heartbroken. He sees this thing. He's walked through, talked to one on his team. He's talked to one who wouldn't even come out to meet him. He's talked to Martha, who's suffering this death from delay. He's done all this. And then he is heartbroken himself. And Jesus weeps. And they said, take me out to where you've laid him. Verse 39. He said, take away the stone. Take away the stone. Take away this thing that's been, take away this thing that's been blocking whatever's about to happen. Take away the stone. Roll it back. This resurrection story. And then in verse 43, in a loud voice, Jesus speaks. And he says, Lazarus, come out. I love that he calls his name. I heard someone say one time that if he hadn't called Lazarus by name, he'd have emptied the whole graveyard. Like that was, he had to specify like which tomb. But he calls out, Lazarus, come out. Lazarus, come out. And I love the fact that he called him by name. He personalized, he says, Lazarus, he personalized, because so many of us, we don't personalize anything but our condition. And so when you have walked through things or you have fallen like all of us do, you have failed or you have never, you haven't been able to get back up or you have done these things, you talk about, you don't say like, I have failed. You talk about yourself, I am a failure. You personalize what you're walking through. But Jesus doesn't do that. I want you to know, personalize it, saying I am a failure, not that I have failed or not that I am worthy of any kind of redemption. Personalizing that, that's the work of the devil in your life. Jesus calls him by his name, Lazarus, which literally means the one who God has helped. The one that God helps. Because listen to me, Jesus knows your condition. Probably better than you do. He knows your condition, but he's calling you by your name. Because he still sees the potential that he has for your life. It's still clear as day to him, his plan for your life. And so if you try to personalize your condition, you try to wallow in that place, you try to say, well, I am a failure and I can never succeed, I can't do it. No, Jesus is calling you by your name because he sees the potential he has for your life. And the Bible says, verse 44, that the dead man came out. Don't miss this. It says he came out hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said, take off the grave clothes and let him go. And I'm just telling you, for some of you today, it's time to take the grave clothes off and be free in Jesus' name, because no, death is ever final. Death never has the power to have the final say in your life. Bow your heads with me as we pray today. Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, that same power lives in us. The same power that Jesus raised Lazarus, that he raised those, Father, that same power you have offered, Father, that raises us from the dead, that no death is ever final, that death never has the final say in our life. So I pray today, Lord, that there would be some people who are walking through a death from delay, or death from discouragement, or death from doubt, that you would break that off of their life, that they would go free in Jesus' name. There's some here today or some listening online, those that need to take the grave clothes off and walk in freedom. And church, I want to pray that we would walk in that this week. And we begin to isolate those things, that we would begin to recognize maybe a past hurt or something that happened to us that caused us to suffer that death from delay, or caused us to suffer that season of doubt or discouragement that tries to work its way into our hearts. Before we pray that, though, I want to offer an invitation, because some of you are here today, you're watching online, and you're listening to these things, and you're thinking, that's great. I'd love to have the power of God to break that off of my life. I'd love to see myself go free. I'd love to see the potential God has for me, but I'm so far from God, I can't even see it. And listen, I don't know how you got there. I don't know what happened. Maybe it was something that happened. Maybe it was one of those things that caused the discouragement or the doubt. Maybe it was one of those, I don't know what it is you walked through, but it's caused you to run as far as you can from him. Listen to me, today is the day to come home. Maybe you've never known the Lord, or maybe you did, but you ran so far. For whatever it is, today is your day to come home. We sing that song in worship, this is our homecoming, when the lost are finally found. If that's you today, this is your opportunity. Jesus loves you so much. We read these stories and we're 2 weeks away from Easter morning. But listen to me, you say, well, what does Jesus have to do with me? The Bible says that the Father loved you so much, that God's heart was for you, that he was looking for you so much. He sent his only son, Jesus, who lived this life, who raised the dead, who lived a blameless life, never sinned, who loved people, who walked in all of these things, sent his son Jesus to live on this earth and to die on a cross in your place. But he didn't stay dead. Greater than any resurrection of Lazarus. Listen, Lazarus died again. Greater than any resurrection that he ever performed. No, when Jesus rose from the dead, the Bible said it was so that anyone could call on his name. And now salvation is available to us. That anyone could call on his name. Anyone. That includes you. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you come from. I don't care what anybody else has written off about your life. That includes you. That he loved you so much. He died. He raised from the dead. That anyone could be saved. And so right now you have a decision to make. If you say that's me, I want to make that decision to follow Jesus. If you say that's me, I want to make sure my eternal life is secure in him. If you say that's me, I want to be resurrected from a death from doubt or delay or discouragement. I want him to do that work in my life. If that's you, I want to pray with you. Listen to me, this is not, I'm not saying join this church. I'm not saying, hey, you got to give a bunch of money. I'm not saying, there are no strings attached to this. This is a moment you decide to follow Jesus. And our church has dedicated our whole lives to this moment. That we will pray this with every person who wants to pray. We will walk this journey with every person who wants to walk it. So right now, if you have to decide, but if you say that's me, if you say, hey, I want to follow him, I never knew Jesus loved me, but I know now, and I want to give my life to him. If that's you, pray this with us. Our whole church prays it. Nobody prays alone. And we can give you the words, but you have to say them and believe them in your own heart. It's a prayer of surrender. In this room or watching online, pray this with us. Say, Jesus, forgive me of all my sin. I repent. I believe you died on the cross. And I believe you rose again. In Jesus' name I pray. Now, Father, I pray for our church this week. God, that there are those who are suffering. Well, maybe it's a death from doubt, like Thomas. Lord, I pray. Lord, we believe that you can't rescue us from that. That we don't have to live in that season. We can be rescued and brought back to life. It's a death from discouragement. Like Mary waiting at home, believing that he could have. But we're not seeing it in our timing, and so we're discouraged. Lord, like Martha, we're suffering a death from delay, that we met him on the road, that there's still a glimmer of hope, but it wasn't in how we thought he should do this thing. Lord, that you can rescue us from that as well. I pray this week, God, begin to bring the dead back to life. We thank you that you are a God of resurrection. You are a God who still restores. You are a God who walks with us, that we are never alone. And so even in the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for you are with us. So I pray that this week, we thank you for all that you're doing. We pray it in Jesus' name. And all God's church said amen and amen. Come on, church, can we give him praise for what he's done? Hey, listen, church, go ahead and stand up with me today. We're going to worship together here at the end. I would just encourage you, if you would like prayer, our prayer team's going to come to the front right now. We would love to pray over with you as we worship. If you'd like to come to the altars, you'd like to be prayed over as we sing this song together. Let's worship, and then if you'd like prayer, come to the front now. Come on, let's lift it up to him today. Let's just begin to sing and lift up our praise together.
I've stolen your breath, sang my own song. Lord, I confess that I'm far from innocent. These shackles I wear, I bought on my own. At a crimson cost, you paid all my debt to that old rugged cross. An empty slate at the empty grave. Thank God that stone was rolled. Lord, I confess I want my own. Jesus came, tore down.
part of a service today, be sure to join us. We're going to have plenty of food, a lot of fellowship, and a lot of fun. Have a great Sunday.